It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
B-Pod Studios.
You have Jakob Johnson offset in front of Harris with a 2nd and 10. Play fake by Newton. Time to throw it to Myers on the crossing route. Turns along the sideline. Inside the 5. Inside the pylon. Touchdown, Patriots.
Great throw. Great throw out in front. Hits him in rhythm. Hits him in stride. And what's that do? It allows him to find that sideline. Drags from right to left. Now tiptoes that sideline. It does a great job getting back inside the 5.
I think that's the most Cam's looking rhythm since he's been here. Yeah, even going back to last year.
Leads the 8-play, 66-yard drive for the Patriots.
Yeah, the big point is he's decisive in those throws. Where he gets into trouble is where he holds the ball, waits and waits for somebody to come open, then tries to gut it in there. Good anticipatory throws by Cam Newton tonight here to start this game.
That's how we start on an agenda-free Friday. Scott Zolak saying that's as good as Cam Newton has looked since he became a Patriot. I assume he's meaning all the regular season games last year. And that's the latest entree, if you will, into this Patriots quarterback competition. Today we are joined by Ted Johnson, 3-time Super Bowl champion in our Town Fred Tire Studios. Hi, TJ.
What's up, Michael?
How you doing, buddy? Big Jim Murray alongside as well. Hi, Jim.
Good, you.
Okay, Agenda Free Fridays, you know what the deal is. They're driven by the Bernardi Auto Group. When you buy or lease your car from Bernardi, they have no agenda. They just want to get you the car you want with exceptional service, and that's it. Find your next Audi, Acura, Honda, or Toyota now at BernardiAutoGroup.com. You set the agenda with your wonderful phone calls at 617-779-0985. The hounds have already been released, so load them up. When you're ready to go, we'll go to you. But in the meantime, opening thoughts. And Teddy has an opening thought based on Cam Newton's night, which we all think was excellent. What do you think, Teddy?
Yeah, I think we need to pump the brakes on that. If you rewatch the film, and I did before the show, and something just kind of jumped out at me. You know, you're reading all the articles, Michael, you wake up this morning, it's all pro Cam. You know, you heard Zolak right there say that it's the best he's looked maybe since he's been here. He was in rhythm. He looked good. The ball was out. But when you go back and look at it again, and you look at the plays in which he had success on, and everybody's talking about that he had three passes in one drive, the second drive of the game, in which he the third pass that traveled more than 10 yards was to Jacoby Myers for a touchdown. Those three plays, all of them had something in common that nobody's really talking about.
Oh.
that's not it.
My fault.
Some people say, well, let's say it was the backup defense. Yes, yes. And I'm gonna be critical of the fact that the Philly only played backups in this game. Are you kidding me? What a joke that was. But I'm about to take a leak in a lot of people's cereal with this take because everybody's excited about Cam, and I get it, okay? But when you look at those plays, those three chunk plays that he had on that second drive, those were nice throws, nice completions. He looked like he was in rhythm, very confident. Every single one of those were what they call a max protection play, meaning you only put out two guys out into the pass routes. You keep more guys in to block than you would otherwise. It's a very simple read. It's two guys, and they do crossing routes, okay? And either one is open or the other is open, or you throw the ball away. You keep guys in to protect, and you throw the ball downfield. They call it a max protect. On those three plays that he had, the ball traveled more than 10 yards. Everybody's excited about. All of them were max protected. in very, very simple reads, and they were playing a soft zone. So to get all excited about, I know he was 8 of 9. The numbers look great. One touchdown. Two of those 8 completions were screens. Two of them were checkdowns. Three of them, and the touchdown, was what they call a max protection play. And it's a very simple read. So before people get crazy and all excited, keep that in mind. And one thing is, I think, important is, well, what about Mac Jones, Ted? How many max protection plays did they do for Mac Jones? Not one, Mike. Not one play did they have where they said decided we need to keep more guys in for protection. It was 4 and 5 guys out into the route for Mac Jones.
And he had two first and 20 situations, a 3rd and 13 from the end zone, and they never max protected.
So it's a little bit of smoke and mirrors today, and everybody's getting excited. I think we're going to play some audio from Ryan Clark. If you look at all the articles, NBC Sports Boston and Jan Shaughnessy and all the people that cover the team, everybody's pumping up Cam Newton. Settle down. Those were basic plays, and two of those max protection plays were on first down where the defense is thinking run. I will say this. His play action looked a lot better last night. Yeah. He was a little bit more deliberate, right, Jim? And so he cleaned that up, and so that helped him have success on those plays. But those were plays in which they are designed to protect him and keep him clean to make those throws.
Put him in the best position to succeed.
Yes.
So what does that tell you? That's kind of what I'm interested in. Did Bill set him up to succeed?
That's what it looked like. I mean, there's so what they give Mac Jones to do versus what they've been given Cam Newton to do is so different. They're throwing way more at Mac Jones. You know what? And he's coming through. He looked excellent. There's a lot of people, Adam Jones, I was listening, I love Adam. He thought that Mac Jones had a better game one. I thought it was crazy. I thought Mac Jones played much better even in the second game than he did in the first game. And because they're throwing everything at him, and he just seems to be responding. They're not max protecting him. They're not trying to make it easy for him. They're doing that for Cam, and it was very evident in that game when you go back and rewatch it.
Okay, so you're a guy who thinks Bill, and you've said this, and I agree with you, that Bill is going to start with Cam Newton. Are you starting to change your mind based on this?
I am not. Nope. I think there's a reason in which he's protecting Cam Newton, because he wants to give him the pump him up and make him feel good and get everybody's feeling really good. You know, they were down there in Philly, and all I heard on Monday and Tuesday was the Patriots getting their asses kicked. Okay, all right, let's see how they respond in this game. They don't start. Jalen Hurts doesn't play. And then the defense, I mean, 7 of the 11 starters didn't even play. So it's not, you cannot look at what his performance was in this game and really glean much from it. Having said that, and even though the kid played well, Mac Jones, I still think he's going with Cam Newton because he's going to protect him, and he doesn't want to make him look bad out there. And I thought that was one indication was that let's max pro and throw the ball downfield, and he can look good. But also kind of covering up some of the flaws he has as well.
Okay, Murray, what do you got?
Well, I thought it was a good night overall, especially for the quarterbacks. I know it was against second and third stringers, but I do think with the way that Cam and Mac played, they'll come out of the night with more confidence. So good night overall, except for one guy who stuck out like a sore thumb, and that's N'Keal Harry. The time has come for someone in N'Keal Harry's life to sit him down and have a real talk with him about self-awareness. It's something he clearly lacks, and I base that on the fact that he allowed his dopey agent a couple of months ago to take to social media and demand a trade. But here's what N'Keal Harry's friends or family or someone close to him needs to tell him. Football, pro football, it ain't for you. It's not. You were given these amazing physical gifts at birth. You know what? They're not supposed to be used to play pro football. This ain't it. It's time to find a new career path, a new path in life. You're only 23. Step away from the game. Find something else. Go back to school. Take the money you've made. Start a business. Take up a trade. Football ain't it. Because he's literally a danger to himself. He's not a detriment just to the team. He's a danger to himself. That deep pass from Mac Jones, all he needed to do, keep in stride.
Keep running.
Run underneath the ball. Instead, he jumps in the air like a fool, lands awkwardly, and likely separated his shoulder. For a second there, it's like, did he break his neck? Like, it was horrible to
watch. I
thought
he got knocked out. I thought he got concussed.
So, this ain't it, dude. Like, yeah, I know on the 3rd and 13, that was the best play of the night. Like, you know, good catch. But overall, he's a detriment to the team and a danger to himself. That play proved it.
So
pro football ain't for you, dude. Walk away. This ain't it.
I wouldn't quit. I mean, I'd let them fire me before I quit, but that was the last play you'll ever see him in a Patriots uniform.
I agree, Mike.
Yeah.
That's my opinion. I mean, he's either going to be hurt or on some list or released or, like, that's it.
That did it for him, I think. Because you can't have the rocky two seasons you've had. And then you know, look, all signs are saying that you're playing well and you're doing all the right things, and then you get hurt in the second preseason game because you don't keep running and you did it to yourself. There's not a lot of patience with that, and particularly with Bill, considering what you just said, the statement that was released just a couple months ago.
Swan song.
All that combined.
That's it.
I doubt he's back.
I mean, even a high school coach would look at that and say, what are you doing?
He has no football instincts.
None.
All right, my opening take is I get in a little bit of the Mac fever after last night. I got to be honest. I thought his play last night to me was so much more eye-opening than the game that they played last week. The first week, he challenged the second level time and time again. The first game, you know, he managed it well, but let's face it, they were almost all checkdowns and sideways throws. You know, 90% of it was that. Last night, I mean, I say he's thrown out of his own end zone on 3rd and 13 twice on his opening drive, deep in his own territory. He gets holding calls, so he's well behind the chains, and he throws his way out of it. Some of those balls to Gunnar Olszewski, again, in the second level. I mean, I started watching that, like, maybe they have a guy. And so now what I'm pivoting to, I still think Bill's going to start with Cam Newton, and I still think the writing is on the wall for that. But now I'm curious about the exit strategy. What's Bill's exit strategy on Cam Newton? It's going to be tricky. It's going to be tricky with Cam, especially if Cam's going to answer the bell and respond and compete, which even though they put him in a good spot last night, Ted, he took advantage of it.
He did.
And I think you can tell Cam Newton's competitiveness has gotten up, you know, so maybe he has some of that in him. And between whatever, the stuff last week and the tweet about loyalty or the Mac Jones being cheered or him getting chirped by the other side during those practices about King checkdown or whatever the case is, maybe that's motivate him a little bit, and that's going to bring out the best in him. It's going to make it even trickier on Bill. Because, not that I like Cam Newton or think he's any good, but if he plays like he did last night and they put him in a position to succeed, you'll beat the Dolphins and the Jets and the Saints and the Texans, and you're going to get off to a 4-1, 5-1 start, something like this. And how's Bill going to exit from him at that point? So what's the exit strategy? I don't think he's going to do it now, but maybe he's better served to do it now. I don't know. But Mac Jones last night opened my eyes. He did. I can't lie to you. Even against third stringers and all of this.
I mean, that play from balling. The end. Go ahead, Ted.
No, he was balling. His first drive, it was a 17-play drive. They lasted 9 minutes. I think it was seven of the plays he had were throws. And a couple of them that were holding calls. Were good plays by Mac that got negated because of the holding plays. So, look, Mac Jones, of the, 13 completions he made, there was three drops. A Devin Asiasi touchdown, an extra point, two-point conversion by Kendrick Bourne that was dropped.
And the Harry play.
And then the Harry play. All right? So the numbers are actually better than what they look like.
My opening take is I'm starting to buy in. What's yours? We always like to get to calls in the opening segment. If you're ready, Murray, just hold that thought, sure. Okay, buddy? Ben in the car, lead us off. What do you got, Ben?
So I'm watching this game last night, and I think it's reached the point where it's almost a disservice if Mac Jones isn't starting week one. You look at last year, 7-9, that roster was terrible. A couple of Cam Newton mistakes, that could be a 9-7 team. I mean, Mac Jones doesn't make mistakes. He's poised. He's making long throws. He looks comfortable. You get the Jets twice. You get the Texans. You get the Jaguars. You win half of your other 13 games. This could be a 10-11 win football team. I think he has to start week one. I really do.
Okay, I know a lot of people feel that way. When is Bill going to feel that way?
You feel that he's physically not ready.
I was just going to say, to me, that's the biggest hurdle.
Okay, so you think Bill, I think Bill's probably like the same. I think he feels the same way. And you've even played some Mike Lombardi stuff where.
You know that comes from Bill.
It does. It does. It totally does, Jim. And so Bill is like, I don't want to start. I don't need to start the kid the whole season.
You see him try and get up from that scramble?
Dude. we all saw it. It was a nice play to avoid the sack. He rolls out and he slides. And then you can see him like, uh-oh, touches the knee.
Yeah, well, that brace is just precautionary.
right. Bill's worried about that too. But you know what? Start Cam. Just get through the first, 8, 9, 10 games. 7-2. 8-3, and then there's my feeling is that Bill is feels like they'll be at a point in the season in which either an injury to Cam Newton or something with COVID related that is going to be his opportunity to put the kid in, so he doesn't have to play 17 games this year. He can play 6+ playoff games. That's what I think. Bill is thinking. He doesn't know exactly when, Mike, but I think he feels in his heart there will be an opportunity to put Mac Jones in there without having to demote Cam. It'll just be a natural place that he'll be able to put him in.
We all see it. And if you didn't see it last week or you're slow coming around, you should be seeing it now. Now the question is, what's the exit strategy? We're off and running on Agenda Free Friday. Back to your thoughts after this.
Boston's home for sports.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
Felger and Mass, number one, because they know how to build winning relationships.
Ooh, isn't the show so great when you're not there, Felger? Yeah, I got a ton of those. I sent those.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
And just as we discussed at the half, an opportunity right away for Wilkerson. Now Jones rides the
nice
pocket,
start.
Moving up and firing a dart to Olszewski.
Wow. Again, both quarterbacks stepping up in the pocket, getting velocity on the football. Gunner's at the top of your screen. Good job on a clear out underneath, which opens up that big hole for Jones to lay that football in.
Patriots lining up for the second down and 7. Jones facing pressure. Firing to Olszewski. Got him that time for first and goal to go.
Number 10's in rhythm, boy. And he's stepping into all the throws. Nothing's off the back foot.
That's 21 yards on a frozen rope.
He knows where he wants to go with the ball. That's half it, man. Understanding where the holes are, who's your receiver.
So I'm starting to buy into the Mac Jones thing. I am, and I know. He was going against guys who are going to be working at the car wash next week. I get it. But still.
So he's a rookie? Please.
I mean, right. For him to look that smooth. And it just all the things Zoe was sort of mentioning there. Just head up, downfield, the release looks smooth.
Lack of panic. Again, that one where he's in the end zone, that's the 3rd and 13. How many guys that have been vets, backup vets in the league, crap their pants in that kind of situation? That's the one. That, and I'll tell you, the one that Bourne dropped, the 2-point conversion, yep. That was an awesome ball.
Great throw.
And you know, the knock on him, if you will, or the scouting report is that he doesn't got a big arm. I don't know. I've seen him put 2 down the left sideline now each week that should have been touchdowns that were on a dime, 30 yards in the air, whatever. Like, I don't know. If he can't make all the throws, he can make that one. I mean, but, so.
Yeah, it's good enough.
When you compare him to Trey Lance, the thoroughbred that is Trey Lance and Justin Fields and you know, Trevor Lawrence, I mean, yeah, he's not going to maybe look like he's got the thunderbolt of an arm. But it's good enough.
Yeah.
The velocity's there. I mean, and the strength downfield is there.
The question is, how does Bill manage it? What's his exit strategy from Cam Newton? Mike in Nashville. Go ahead, Mike.
I know we focus on the quarterback and the skill positions, but, man, I love their O-line. I think either guy's going to be successful. And, you know, I don't care about the long-term plan. I'm old. I want him to live here.
Hi, Mike.
They can challenge the Bills.
Okay, thanks for the call. Offensive line thought, Ted, is that as good as people think?
Yeah, it's gonna be one of the best offensive lines. I mean, 44 rushing attempts. They were dominant last night. That's gonna be their bread and butter. Settle in. It's gonna be circa 1985 for Patriots fans. And I put in the email. I just thought, you know, if I'm Kendrick Bourne, And I'm Nelson Aguilar, and I'm watching those guys last night. One catch between the two of them, and you're just seeing running back after running back, Sony Michel, Damian Williams, J.J. Taylor coming in. They're all doing their thing. I'm thinking, this is going to be 1985 football just like it was last year. So just everybody get ready. Defense, running the football, and timely passing on third down is what's going to be the formula for this team. And this offensive line, they have more depth than what people are like, but this is going to be the strength of their team is that offensive line.
It concerns you, Aguilar and Bourne haven't shown up much?
Not really, but it's just, I'm just sitting there, if I'm in their shoes, I'm sitting there going, they're probably like, wow, what did I get myself into? I mean, I know it's only two preseason games, but I'm telling you, particularly with Cam Newton as a quarterback, it's going to be mostly checked out. It's going to be screen game. You're going to see so many screens. I mean, the Green Bay Packers historically have always been some of the, I think the Kansas City Chiefs, the Patriots will be the, no one will use the screen more than the Patriots will this year. So just running game and screen game is what you're going to see from this offense.
I think there's one given about the Patriots wide receivers through two preseason games and training camp. Jacoby Myers is their best wide receiver.
Oh yeah, for sure. I think so. And I'm actually okay with that. It's not good if Bourne and Aguilar can't get on the same page. Like, that's no good. I mean, if you have three good receivers, I'm okay with that versus having one top-heavy group like that.
Those of you guys are used to getting fed. They're used to being the guy. And it's so different here. We all know it. It's when they come here, you're highlighted one week, and the next week you're forgotten about it. And then the next, 3 weeks later, then they put you in the game plan. It's going to be hard for those guys to be engaged week in, week out if they're not getting fed like they've been used to at their other teams.
Rick in Pittsburgh. Hi, Rick.
Hey, I have a question for Ted about Cam passing out of max protection all the time. Isn't that what you kind of want? Because you're going to be running the ball more with Cam, so wouldn't you want more run-heavy formations to disguise the passing plays pre-snap a little better?
It's the most basic kind of thing you can do for your quarterback. It's a very simple read. You only put two guys out in the passing, and you keep six or seven guys in. So as a quarterback, you're going to be protected. You're not going to be hit. So it frees you up to kind of just let loose a little bit. And it's these two guys in their route, one or two, and they cross, 15 yards down the middle of the field. So no, that's not what you want. You don't want to go there very often because that shows you some limitations you have at the quarterback position if you're leaning on that all the time.
It's kind of basic, Rick.
It's very basic.
So did the tight end stay home on both of those plays then?
Yes. Yes, they do. They stay in the block. You'll see them stay in the block, and then when their guy doesn't come to rush, they chip, and then they go out late into the route. But that's the idea of a max pro is like we're going to make sure our quarterback doesn't get hit. It's going to make the reads very simple. And you have two options.
Didn't they do it for Drew all the time? It was so freaking slow back there. But, I mean, either way, I mean, it's not a bad strategy if you want to protect your quarterback.
You just can't do it very often.
Right.
Your passing game isn't going to be max protected. You need to get guys out into the routes. And you can't always be keeping guys in to block for your quarterback because you're worried about him getting hit.
Brian in the truck. Hi, Brian.
Hey, here's the exit strategy for multiple reasons. We're gonna see Newton through the fourth game of the year. We got Dolphins first, then the Jets, then the Saints, then Tommy and the Bucks come in. So he's gonna keep the kid on the bench as long as he keeps progressing through the tough part of that schedule, and not let him have his butt handed to him by the Bucks.
Well, the schedule's easy, but that Tampa, the first 5 weeks, there's four very winnable games in the Bucks. So it's like, that's even sort of a, Brian, and just to cut you off, I think that's in Bill's mind to protect him from the Brady game as well. So it gets really clunky.
Well, after that, Brian. Yeah, you got Texans, Cowboys, Jets, Chargers. You got some cream puffs and some things that could be on fire. So you get the kid in then you get him some experience against some NFL teams.
Okay, so Brian's going to stop you. Yes. Yeah, yeah. Okay, here's a couple of complications. One, what if they're 4-1? What if they're 3-1? What if they're playing really well? What if they're 3-0 going into the Brady game under Cam Newton, and then Brady comes in here and beats them? Is Bill going to turn around and do Cam Newton like that? I mean, you're 3-0, you're playing well. Brady, the Super Bowl champion, comes in and beats you as they should, as a heavy favorite. Then you sit Cam Newton down after that game, basically blaming him for the loss and basically putting him up on that pedestal saying, now we're going to go to the kid. You're the fall guy. You're the sacrificial lamb. Take a seat. after all they've done for each other over the last year plus, the ball they played with each other, is Bill going to do that, Ted?
No way. I highly doubt it.
He would do him that dirty? No way.
He would not do him dirty like that. There is no way. He wants it to be easy. He wants it to be a win-win for him. He wants to be able to be winning games and then have a nice, easy kind of excuse to transition to the kid. What that is, I'm not exactly sure. I've given you a couple examples, one being an injury. I'm not wishing an injury, but my feeling is that he might anticipate. That's just something that's might happen.
Well, no. I mean, let me stop. I think, Bill, I think you're entirely right to say Bill's probably saying to himself, something will happen.
Yeah.
It always does, right? Something will happen because it always does.
Yeah.
And the only problem is if it doesn't happen, and Cam Newton still is Cam Newton, but they're winning. And then it's like, now what? And that's how you get stuck with Cam Newton.
I think this team can win 11 games right now with Cam Newton as a starting quarterback. 11. Okay, and don't forget, this isn't it's a 17-game schedule, so 11 wins isn't what it used to be. I think 11 wins, maybe even 12. Just with the defense, the running game, and Cam Newton not making that many mistakes, I think they can win that many games. And so it's going to be interesting to see if Cam doesn't get hurt or isn't on the COVID list, if he decides, because you're not going to win playoff games with Cam.
No.
You'll win regular season games with Cam. If you want to win playoff games, you better have Mac Jones in there over Cam Newton.
And this time around, it may not actually be a bad idea for Belichick to think something will happen. And that something is, as you just mentioned, Ted, is probably the COVID list. Because it's pretty clear that Cam didn't get the jab. He's always masked up on the sideline. He's masked up in these post-game press conferences. Like, they tell you, if you don't get it, you got to wear the mask if you're on the sideline and around the team. So, that could be all a matter of time.
All right, we continue with more thoughts on the team from last night after Big Jim Murray's update.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. Guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
Felger and Mass.
I'm not even going to look it up because I'd rather just deliver that to you.
Facts be damned.
Yep.
Make the shirts.
Yep.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Jones back in for the Patriots. 38 seconds to go. Matt finds the pocket.
Got
throws
it.
The deep ball for Hill. Oh, he cannot hold on.
What a throw. Kill's got to get that. Oh, and he's down. Yeah, he really extended himself. I don't know if it's his shoulder or the leg. I think it's his left shoulder bump.
Now, N'Keal Harry
could have knocked the wind out of him, too. That's the best thing I think you could hope for. See, the problem is he extends here. I don't think he had to leave. Yeah, it's right on that left shoulder. It's his left shoulder. I don't think he had to leave his feet because the ball hit both hands. You see the white gloves? He didn't have to jump and leave his feet. If he just ran through that, I think he walks in.
So there's that N'Keal Harry play, two parts of it. One is the throw. It's just
beautiful throw.
Oh, my God. That was better than the week before.
N'Keal, it was a nice kind of a little bit of a double move. He kind of like he was going. It was a nine route. It was a fade route. But he kind of acted like he was going to go in. And then he bursted outside. He had to step on the guy.
And the second piece is N'Keal Harry doesn't know how to play football. He has no football instincts, which is just. Yeah.
And have you seen the other clip, Mike, that is now making rounds of where he blocks Isaiah Wynn? There was this running play. He literally, like, gets in the way of Isaiah Wynn and blocks him, and it blows the play up.
He's an elite blocker, though. I mean, it's a start to
see. On his own, guys.
Are you being sarcastic, or is he?
God, no, but he's, I mean, you watch, he's so big and strong. Like, but let's face it, he's not getting paid. He's not brought here. You know, you don't draft him in the first round to be a blocker. But I've heard about that. I heard you talking about that earlier, but that's not too shocking.
So what's scary is the team really has three receivers. I mean, they have three guys, and two of the three are maybe slow catching on to the offense because, again, it's not like Aguilar and Bourne are a big part of what's going on.
And Aguilar's missed a lot of
so
time
far
in camp.
And Aguilar's been on and off the field. So, I mean, they go into the season with three receivers. I mean, Olszewski makes it because of special teams. Slater makes it because of special teams, not a receiver, obviously. The Wilkerson kid fell off the map. Like, never mind, do they have good receivers? Do they have enough receivers? I mean, like, that's kind of an issue there. I mean, how long does that last? How far can you go with that?
Not very, very long. And you know what? They'll use the running backs like they did in 2019. You know, they didn't have a lot of receivers in 2019 or 20 or 2000. You know, they have more now in 2021, but they went to their wide receivers. I mean, back then it was Rex Burkhead and James White. Now it's going to be, I don't know, J.J. Taylor or who, you know, or James White again in the passing game. But let's face it, they're really counting on more than anything is the tight ends. They need these tight ends to help their passing game because this is not going to be a down-the-field team. It's going to be, again, like it always is, death by a thousand paper cuts, dink and dunk, and ball control. But they need their tight ends, Michael, if they're going to be a good passing game team. But you're right. The wide receivers right now are a question mark, considering you have a rookie quarterback and then Cam Newton throwing them footballs. It's going to be very difficult for them to shine, to show out, and to really, I think, pick it up quickly when you were dealing with a rookie quarterback and then a quarterback, let's face it, who's past his prime when it comes to throwing the ball.
All right, what else stood out? How do you feel about the Patriots secondary?
I'm a little bit nervous. You saw Juwan Williams out there more on the outside than you've seen him in training camp and in the first preseason game. And he had some coverage on Devontae Smith. He did okay, but that scares me. You do not want Juwan Williams. He is not ready to be a guy that you can count on the outside. And I think they did that because they realized Jalen Mills is better suited for the inside.
So he moved inside last night.
So he moved inside. And they had Juwan Williams out there on the outside. You do not want to rely on Juwan Williams. You can't spend all this money on this team in the offseason and all the money you've put into this defense and then skimp at that position. That is the leverage that Stephon Gilmore has.
It's going to work for him?
I'm thinking that it is. I really do. I think because the formula Bill's thinking he's got a great defense and you need Stephon Gilmore to be an elite defense. And if this team's going to win a lot of regular season games, they're going to have to lean on their defense, Mike. And you need Stephon Gilmore. It's just, if he's not out there.
Oh, if the Pats cave, I'd be fascinated. Oh, that would be so interesting. Yep. That would really show you where they're at, you know, as an organization, how desperate they are. And they should be. I hope they are. I don't mean that like as a bad thing.
That's the one area you come away from last night's game, I think, and you still don't know. Like, you can't judge that on last night. That's why I'm pissed that Jalen Hurts didn't play.
Oh, Joe Flacco. Give me
so
a break.
Cooked. There was one play, though, that I did think stood out was Devontae Smith, the rookie who's nasty. And he didn't pop all that much, but there was one play. He picked up a first down that he turned that Michael Jackson like inside out. And that's where it's like, oh, boy, you could use someone like Gilmore on a player like that.
What about Chase Winovich? Okay, he's a stupid penalty, and then a sack is like a typical night. All he does is, you know, fly around the corner there. Sometimes he gets there. Mostly he doesn't. Do you think Bill's going to put him on his team?
I think Bill is probably going to struggle with it because, he made plays last night. I will say this. First off, that was a papier-mâché offensive line. That was a terrible offensive line. By the way, we're talking about all the guys that didn't play on defense last night for Philly. That offensive line was missing a lot of their starters, too, and it showed. That was a terrible offensive line, but nonetheless – there you see Chase out there and, of course, gets a personal foul. And I love the camera. The camera work last night was awesome. I couldn't get enough of people eating, shoving their faces with, you know, Philly cheesesteaks. Yeah. But Chase Winovich, when they panned to Chase Winovich after that play, it was like he felt like, well, nah, I'm done. You know what? Bill's going to probably take me off the field right now and send me to the locker room. He didn't. Here's the thing with Chase. He makes plays in the passing game. He's not going to be an every down guy. I thought he might be an every down linebacker last year. Forget that.
Don't you think Bill hates that kid?
Part of him, yes.
I think Bill looks like he doesn't play the run. He doesn't play the run.
Third down specialist who's always mugging for the camera.
Doesn't read and react. You know, Bill hates guys that doesn't take on blockers, who tries to run around blockers, who gets deeper than the quarterback, who doesn't keep contained. All these football fundamental things. Mm-hmm. Winovich doesn't do them. He's a one-trick pony, can't defend the run, can't drop into coverage. He draws attention to himself with his stupid hair and his yapper. And, like, all these things, Bill must look at this kid and go, I can't stand you. I can't stand the sight of you. And maybe that's a little strong, but honestly, I think that is not Bill's kind of guy.
He is not, you know, but maybe it's a different Bill. You know, maybe the Bill I knew, I've said this to me, sometimes I don't know the Bill Belichick that I'm analyzing now, because he's a very, very different guy. So you never know what's important to him. Yes, the guy you just described, my feeling is Bill can't stand that kind of player. But at the same time, maybe, just maybe, he's changing, you know, as he gets older, and he's like more kind of inclined to keep guys like that around.
There's a package deal of Chase Winovich and N'Keal Harry coming up somewhere. I'd maybe get a seventh round pick for it. Meanwhile, have the kicker audition started this week in Foxborough?
Oh, boy.
How'd that kid do?
Yeah.
Talk about throwing up all over yourself.
Wow.
Someone's come back to earth.
Oh, my God.
Oh, man.
Ted, all your years in the NFL, you ever see a kicker just absolutely crap himself? Like a mental case in the locker room? A guy you could tell this is... We don't want this kid kicking?
It was a punter. So it's not really the same thing. His name was Paul O'Neill, my rookie year. I roomed with him, and I don't know why, but he was mental by halfway through the season. He had a great rookie season, I was told, in 1994. And then Parcells basically, this kid was so mental, his mom was calling. Sorry. But his mom was calling me asking about her son's mental well-being.
The mom was calling you.
Yes,
oh,
yes.
No, that's a bad look. But you became a mom, can't call you when you're at training camp.
But last night, I mean, it was because those kicks in that first game, let's face it, I was like, ooh, that was a nice kick. Ooh, and it was on a line, and it was drilled. And then last night,
those extra points are like me off the tee box. Holy crap.
And that was, you know, Joe Moore told us that was his rap at Michigan. He had no short game. He could kick the crap out of the ball, big leg, but you got into, you know, makeable range. He was Shankosaurus, and in the big moments, he was shaky, and, like, that's what you get there.
My feeling is, though, that to some degree, that's probably a dime a dozen. You know, that's why guys can make the NFL or can't make the NFL. They have talent, but they just don't have it between the ears.
All right, so anything else stand out to you other than the quarterbacks? I mean, the quarterbacks are... It's a fascinating story because, to me, Mac Jones popped last night. To me, because I'm not down there every day. And I thought the first game he was just, you know, a really efficient manager. But I thought last night I sort of got a little bit of that Mac Jones fever, a little bit.
You should. One thing that stood out, this is, you know what, I'm probably where I'm going with this, because it doesn't excite you, it doesn't blow your skirt up, it doesn't get you all excited, and is... The running backs look pretty good, buddy.
Yeah, I love that J.J. Taylor. Oh, and talking to Jeff Howe in the pregame.
I love Taylor.
Talking to Jeff Howe, the Athletic, in the pregame. He didn't think he's a lock to make the team. I don't know how. I love a little water bug running back tackles.
Jim, that guy was running last night like his career depended on him. Like his professional career. You know what? And good for him, because he was running like with his hair on fire. But I mean, Ramondre Stevenson... I know he spit the seed there, and my feeling is they love that, because I get the sense.
Oh, you have to yell at him all week.
Oh, yeah. But I get the sense, you know, harsh criticism towards Ramondre Stevenson from the running back coach Ivan Fears earlier in training camp. You know what? When I heard those strong critique of him, I was like, Ivan loves him. He loves him because he also feels like this kid's got a big head, and you got to keep him down a little bit. And that fumbling that ball late in the game was probably perfect. You know what? We'll keep. But that kid is a really good running back too, man.
Okay, your thoughts on that? The quarterbacks to you in our long commercial-free segment next.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing. And FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy, make your first bet an automatic win, with FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
What do you want to talk about?
Mike in Framingham, what?
Felger and Mass.
Hey, I love your show. I don't agree with anything you guys ever say, though.
More Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Asiasi in motion as Newton drops back and looks to throw. Steps up, shuffles up, fires down the middle, and the pass is caught. A first down out near the 45-yard line. Jacoby Myers. Asiasi, a stand-up tight end. One of three receivers right. Has time. Again down the middle. Caught by Horn on the run. And he is tackled at the 32.
Good shot by Cam right here on a deep dig. Take a look at your protection right here. Left tackle. That's Isaiah Wynn. Big issue on third down to start the game last week. Does a much better job allowing Cam to sit in that pocket. And then it's Bourne on the dig from right to left. Two good throws by Cam here to start this football game.
First and 10. Newton finds Myers on the in-cut. Another strike. Patriots have to pick up close to the first down. McPherson on the stop.
Okay, it's Jacoby Myers again. He's the outside guy. Nikhil Harry is inside. Running a curl route the whole way, but Jakob Johnson takes that underneath defender with him. Cam gives him a peek. Takes a shot after he throws it. It's a good throw. 3 for 3.
That's how Cam Newton started, but Patriots put him in a good position to succeed, Ted, right? They protected him.
It's a good throw when you have six guys blocking four. You know, maybe even sometimes seven, and the reads are simple. I'm sorry to take a leak in everyone's cereal if you're excited about Cam Newton. It just, when you look at it a little bit more closely, the plays were designed for him to be protected and to succeed, and there were very simple, basic reads. Again, max protect, keep him protected, only put two guys out there. If the first read's not there, go to the second read. And, you know, Philly, it was just inept in their coverage. I mean, it was basic zone, soft coverage. And they were letting guys run wild in the secondary, but those were not hard throws. At the end of the day, everybody's getting excited. I get it. But those were not hard throws to make for Cam.
Be that as it may, he was efficient. Would you admit that? And they, like, he stepped up and the ball came out a little bit better?
Oh, definitely. But you know what? I don't know. Apply pressure. Send three strong. Disguise a blitz and then back out like they do in the regular season. Then I'll be impressed. And then, you know. It just wasn't, at the end of the day, it looked like they wanted to make it. It's almost as if Belichick went to the head coach for Philly. He's like, just don't blitz them. Can we just, they didn't blitz. They did not blitz Cam Newton hardly at all. And so I will give Cam credit in the fact that his play action looked more crisp. He looked better with that.
Definitely.
He made the throws. I get it. But again, those were not hard throws to make for a guy that's in his 11th year and who was used to be an MVP of the NFL.
So, that is fascinating. But what I find really interesting is that Bill, you could then say, propped him up and put him in that position to succeed and be comfortable. And I think that tells you something, that Bill's still invested in this player and this player still means something to him. And I still put that a part of he's still going to start the year, even though the other kid, if he hasn't opened your eyes yet, should be after last night. Jonathan in Abington. Go ahead, Jonathan.
Hey, guys. I was really encouraged last night, particularly coming in into the second half, starting the third quarter once again in the hurry-up offense. You could see him moving guys around, talking, smiling. You could tell that he was making reads. I thought that was all really, really great, not only positive development, but, and I know he wasn't going against great competition, but the fact that he had the command – and the ability to move really long drives, no huddle, was awesome.
Well, it doesn't tell you the two skill sets. So they have to keep it simple for Newton. Big formations, max protection, only two guys out in the route, that sort of thing. Where Mac Jones, they can spread it out. They don't have to devote as many blockers for him because he can diagnose something or get out of something. You said he was still run-checking last night like he did in week one, right?
Oh, yeah, he was. It was great. You know, here's the thing. What makes him good, I'm not saying Mac Jones is this great quarterback, but he improved from week one to week two, and I think he's exactly where he needs to be. My feeling is Bill's probably secretly really excited about what he's seen because you know what he's doing? Those big runs that J.J. Taylor had in the second half of the game last night, those were in Ramondre Stevenson, a lot of chunk plays, were because Mac Jones checked them into draw plays, into running plays when there were six guys in the box. Again, that's not – you just don't see consistently – Cam Newton doing that. And so that I thought it was very interesting to start the second half that Josh McDaniels said, all right, let's take this kid out for a spin again and did hurry up again. And he was brilliant. He went 3 minutes, seven plays, think boom, 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 down the field, checking into runs. To me, people got to get excited about that. And they do not do that with Cam for a reason.
And I don't think he's capable.
I don't think he is either, Mike.
You know, and Mac Jones did have a teachable moment himself. You notice at the end of the second quarter, in the 2 minute, he threw over the middle with no timeouts and then spiked it on third down, bringing in the punt team. And now Bill and Josh have something to yell at him about all week.
Yeah.
Because
that was a gaffe right there. You don't spike it in that opportunity. You have a chance to run another play. Unless you think the kid, Noreen's going to make a 62-yard field goal right before that, which I don't think they were playing for that. So I think the kid screwed up there.
Drew in Boston. Go ahead, Drew. What do you got?
Hey, guys. If what Ted's saying is right, then I think it makes even more sense to go with Mac out of the gate because you're going to have third and short, third and medium, and you're going to need someone with good touch, someone to hit that running back out of the backfield on a flare and stride. Someone to hit the short little James White sitting on the zone over the middle route. Someone to hit that big route.
Hey, Drew.
Not the big arm down the middle. I mean, over the top. Yeah.
Thank you for the call. But I think you and everyone who sort of scouts it like that is looking at the wrong thing. In other words, of course you'd rather have Mac Jones and Cam Newton because he's more of an NFL passer. And so he's going to be better on third down, first down, any situation you can conjure up. I don't think Bill's looking at it that way. I think Bill looks at it and says, is he ready? Is he physically ready? Is he mentally ready? Is the team ready for a rookie quarterback? Is he ready to face adversity and come back the next week? Those sort of bigger macro things about where he is as a professional and a man. The thing about you'd rather have Mac Jones and Cam Newton because on third and three you need a hit. Yeah, well, yeah, of course. You need someone who can throw.
Yeah.
And pretty much every situation, you'd rather have a quarterback that could throw and play in a pro-style offense versus what Cam Newton is now, which is like a high school offense, which we've been detailing.
And of all those questions that might be rattling around in Bill's head about the kid, it's the physical aspect, I think, is the one he has a legitimate concern with, and rightfully so.
Because not just his frame, he was probably already dinged up. He's already in a knee brace his second week of the preseason. You saw that little scramble last night. It took him a while to get up, and he played, and he's playing through it.
And so it was just a basic slide. He slid.
It wasn't anything. Yeah.
And you could hear the, like, when he was trying to get up.
That's right there is why I think Bill would be terrified to do it. And then the other reason, which is everybody's kind of been talking about at this point, which I think is true. In fact, I think Mike Lombardi even emphasized this in some of the audio that you played the other day, Mike, was if you start with Mac Jones – If you start with him, it's so much harder to go to Cam after that. It's easier to start with Cam and then go to Mac Jones than it is the other way around. It just is as far as morale. I think you want to keep Cam Newton engaged. And how do you do that? You start him early, and then maybe an opportunity presents itself that you can put the kid in later down the road, as opposed to if you just start with the kid, what are you going to do with Cam Newton? Is he going to be sitting there sucking his thumb? Are you going to be getting Instagram posts about, you know, loyalty? Is he going to divide the locker? Are there going to be guys that are gonna be like, that's Bill doing dirty? There's a lot of new guys on this team that are alpha dogs that are being paid a lot of money that don't know how it works here. That are like, dude, what are you doing to Cam, man? We're winning football games. I know it's not pretty, but that's our bro. What are you doing? It's all those things a head coach has to worry about.
Hour number two coming your way after Murray's 90-second update. No commercials. It's an Agenda-Free Friday with Ted Johnson and Big Jim Murray. Playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline MA.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
There's always a reason for better health, and here's Carlo with his.
My program with Awaken 180 actually started when my daughter was born, and at that time, I was over 300 pounds. I felt I owed it to her to better myself and my family, of course. And I'll never forget, it was my fourth week. I came in, and my goals for that week were not met. And they found the positive in everything. And that was the biggest thing for me. Awaken 180 has provided me confidence, not only in my day-to-day eating, it's my day-to-day role as a father, as a friend. And that's something that for the longest time, I didn't have.
The benefits are endless after losing weight with Awaken 180. Carlo dropped his 84 pounds and he did it in under 4 months. Scale results, life results, with the solution for weight loss online at awaken180weightloss.com.